This is Startup Nation Radio, the show to learn about how to start and grow your own business.
You got to follow your own compass. You got to execute on what you really believe in.
Well, the principles of entrepreneurship, I think, are universal.
Entrepreneurs benefit from learning from each other.
Hey, Rich, you're calling in from The Nation. What do you have for us this week?
Well, first of all, The Nation is alive and well. Entrepreneurs are jamming it.
The time is now.
The real question is, do you have the confidence, the resources, and the support?
It's always a good time to get into business.
It's time for Startup Nation with Jeff Sloan.
Okay, it is indeed time. It's time for Startup Nation Radio, and it's time for you to get that dream business off the ground, get it growing, and making it happen for you so you can lead the life you want to lead. Well, this is a show all about how to do just that. And on today's show, we're going to be talking to a successful entrepreneur who's going to share his amazing success story and share tips you can use to create a successful venture of your own. Tune in. Great show ahead on Startup Nation Radio.
You're listening to Startup Nation Radio on News Talk 760 WJR. Here's Jeff Sloan.
Okay, here we go. Another great edition of Startup Nation Radio ahead. Again, this is the show for you to learn about how to start and grow your own dream business. So check us out if you have any interest in that. And of course, who doesn't? It's always great to make some extra income. It's always great to get out of that corporate job if you're thinking about possibly doing that. And you can do it if you can get a business rolling of your own. We're here to help you do just that. All right, before we get into it, today's sponsors, Walsh College, Comerica Bank, and Pappas Financial. Now, Pappas Financial has been a trusted advisor to business owners for over 40 years. They guide entrepreneurs on strategies that protect their businesses and personal assets, implement company benefit solutions, and provide a roadmap for businesses to set their succession plans and investment strategies. Get started right and stay on track. Stay on track. To help you do just that, get Pappas Financial on your team. Reach out to them at 248-539-8292 and tell them that your friends at Startup Nation sent you. Well, great show ahead. Norm, you're in the studio with me.
Yes.
Norm Pappas.
Glad to be here.
Good to have you.
Yeah.
Always good to have you, Norm. We've got a great show ahead. You helped us put this one together as you've done so well in the past. We've got a great guest on the show. We're going to hear an amazing business success story. And we're going to, you and I, our job is to draw out some great tips that our people in the community can use to get their own success story rolling. Maybe they'll be on Startup Nation Radio one day soon.
Well, I could tell you, our guest, Albert Scaglione, I've known him for 30 years, and he's probably one of the best business people I have ever met. And he's smart.
Now that's a statement.
Yeah.
That's an endorsement.
But there are certain things. I mean, he's a PhD, but he sees the big picture. He pays attention to detail. He's a hard worker. He's got his family working with him. He's got a great wife, Mitzi, and his children, and can talk about how you work with family members, but there are a lot of lessons that you can learn from Albert.
Well, and that's what we're all about here today. So with no further ado, Albert Scaglione, welcome to Startup Nation Radio.
Well, welcome. Thank you very much. That was quite a compliment, Norm.
That was.
It's going to be hard to live up to that.
Yeah, well, yeah.
And I can tell you, he doesn't say that every week.
No, I don't.
He doesn't.
Wow.
We're excited about this, Albert. It's great to have you in the studio. Of course, you've got a company, Park West Galleries. You're in the business of selling art. Artwork. Something that no one needs, right?
Totally.
No one needs it. What
do you need with art?
What do you need with art?
Exactly.
But you have made an amazing business out of it. We're going to find out how you make that happen. How do you do that, all right?
Okay.
Tell us, how'd you get your start?
Well, you know, it's. I think that the art business called me rather than me kind of calling it. That was the first part. I got my start by winding up teaching at Wayne State University. In fact, it reminded us, as Norm, when we were coming in this morning, it brought a lot of nostalgia. The first time I was on WJR as a whatever was in 1967 when I was an assistant professor of mechanical engineering sciences at Wayne State University, and we were all like gung-ho that we were going to get a man in space, we were getting a man on the moon. This was our goal. Kennedy had assured us this was going to happen. The funding was there. It was the mission. It was happening. And I was asked to, J.P. McCarthy contacted the university. They contacted me, sent me over, I guess because I talk a little. You know, being Italian-American, you know, when I was a kid, they said I was vaccinated, used to vaccinate people then, right, for whatever, still do it, with a Victrola needle. Now, Victrola, nobody knows what that is anymore,
yeah,
but it's
yeah,
a needle
radio,
you put a record player, on,
right?
A record player, Victrola player. But anyway, I was the resident space scientist, but I liked better hanging out at the cast corridor and looking at the art that was going out and seeing kick out the jams and hang. You saw what happened to me this morning.
Yep.
I came in this morning and there's some artist I never heard, saw him, never heard of him, and I was fascinated. I was all over this stuff. He couldn't get me away from it. He hey, said, "You'll never change."
You know what? Immediately, what jumps out at me is that when a person has a natural passion for something,
yep.
and you combine that with the ability for that person to represent it with enthusiasm, and you know, I mean, you can talk, you can sell, man.
You got it.
All of a sudden, something that nobody needs, lots of dollars start to change hands somehow. That's magic.
And by the way, for those entrepreneurs that are out there that maybe can't talk so well, don't sell so well, you'll find those guys. You can surround yourself with them. But if you have the passion and you have this unique, special thing that you feel you need to bring along, that's where it really starts. That's the little. For me, I knew I wanted to be in art. I don't know how to make any money with it, but I knew this is what made me feel good.
So how'd you make the transition? I mean, here you were an engineer talking about the space shot, and the next thing you know, you're in business with an art gallery.
That's an interesting one. I dove in the water. Mm-hmm. So what I did is after 3 years as an assistant professor of mechanical engineering sciences at Wayne State, after getting my PhD at Michigan State, I made up my mind in my second year that I was going to give this thing a run. So I started coming up with ideas. And while I was still teaching, I had that ability. I could do that. They knew about it, by the way. In fact, they supported me, helped me. Some of my colleagues thought I was a little crazy, but still am. But in any event, I came up with the concept of doing, rather than just selling art in a gallery, of talking about the art to people. Getting into a university lecture. Keep it short, though. And give them bullet-sized bits of what you now know, and the art part for me, the knowledge part was the easy piece. Mm-hmm. Because after all, my work was in physics and mathematics and engineering. Yeah. That was hard.
If you empower someone with a little bit of knowledge about something,
yeah,
and you speak to it with authority, and you yep. get them, you draw them in, you give them that knowledge, you hook them, don't you? I mean, that's a great way.
If they're hookable, I mean, when I say you hook them,
if they're not, it's irrelevant.
Exactly,
if they're hookable,
but
it works.
But
yeah. it,
meaning that. I almost don't like to say hook them, because for those people that are out there that really this turns on, you connect with them. You buzz with them. You're buzzing because
yeah.
you connected with what their point was. Maybe you have. I used to sell, for example, years ago, I was involved with the man who had all of the estate of Picasso and Renoir in a certain area, in certain print areas. And he sold me prints very inexpensively. And I would sell them very inexpensively, hundreds of dollars. Today they're tens of thousands of dollars, by the way, and by Renoir. But I would get to the background story from this man himself. He met Renoir. He knew Renoir.
And that's something people can relate to.
You got it.
Now they're in. They want it. Yeah. Now,
you got it.
Amazing. This is going to be good, Norm.
Oh, yeah.
We're just getting started here. We got to go to a quick break. We're going to come back. We're going to pick it up right from there. Good stuff ahead. Good stuff ahead. Yeah. We're going to find out how you went, Albert, from having an interest in doing this to opening a gallery, coming up with some creative ways to really becoming one of the most successful galleries in the country in this business. We're going to find out how you did that. Stick with us on Startup Nation Radio.
Welcome back to Startup Nation on WJR. Here's Jeff Sloan.
Okay, welcome back to Startup Nation Radio. We're hearing from an amazing entrepreneur who's got a great success story to share with us today. And we're gonna Norm Pappas, my co-host. Welcome back, Norm.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, good to have you in studio. You helped us put this together. And Albert, thanks so much for being on the air with us. Our job, Norm, is to, as we hear Albert's story, to pull out those nuggets, those tips, and make sure we can help our audience have a story like Albert's. How about that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Albert's got a lesson, a lot of lessons, as I said earlier, that people can learn a lot from.
Hey, so. Albert, I have a quick question for you. What, you know, we talk about empowering our entrepreneurs in our community. How do you feel about people starting businesses today and their likelihood of success? I mean, is this still the American dream? And, you know, all the things that we feel so strongly about and we hope for and push for and help to facilitate. But what's your feeling on
I think people who start businesses in the United States of America have a better chance of success than any place else on planet Earth.
That, okay.
That's number one.
Yep.
Now, having already said that, if everybody could win the Super Bowl, then I guess it wouldn't be worth anything. So obviously you're looking at an uphill climb here, but you know, how do you measure success? How do you measure success? If you measure success by you have to make the X number of dollars, okay, you'll have a parameter. But if success is measured by how did you live your life, if you never make a huge amount of money, but you're living your life the way you really love to live it, and you operate out of your home with independence and freedom and with the ability to produce the best you can produce, satisfying your own self internally, you got it all. I mean, you got it all.
Paul Bologna, our good producer of the show, put that one in the archives. I like that.
Yeah, no, well, I mean, well, you really said. Do. Because let's take the alternative. You guys were asking me earlier, how many people? We have about 1,200 people now. Okay, great. Big deal. But what does that have to do with the quality of my life? Zero. I could have a hellacious, I don't. I have a wonderful life. I'm a very fortunate man. But I know plenty of people who operate big operations and organizations. A very dear friend whose name I won't even say today is not going to be doing the same thing he was doing yesterday. Big positions. Happens all the time. Just normal for one reason or another. And so I think the number one thing is defining success. You have a great chance of success, and you'll have a better success with your life if you go after it. If it's not meant for you and it's meant that you should be an employee, learn that lesson.
Sure, sure.
And be satisfied with
sure,
it.
Sure, sure.
If that's the issue. But if it's not, be satisfied with what you get there.
Let me ask you. Clearly, you've achieved great success. We just were open enough, and I'd say the same thing. It's tough to make anything work. There's no handouts, right? It's hard. You got to work hard. Got to be somewhat lucky. Timing's got to be on your side. Other factors have to be on your side. I mean, it's not easy to make a go of it. So let me ask you: if I said you had to start all over today and do it again, would you be successful again?
I think that's in the hands of the Lord, not me. But I would make every effort to be successful again.
Of course you'd make the effort.
Let's do it a different way. If I had everything I have now, and I started off with this, everything in my psyche, in my mind, everything I know, everything I've learned, and had to start all over again, I'd be far more successful, extraordinarily more successful. I wouldn't have had to break my nose thousands and thousands
sure,
of times.
Sure.
You know, the road to success is a road strewn with failure.
Sure.
And what is the kind of failure you're looking for? Fast failure.
Yeah.
Fast failure.
Yeah.
Try things. Experiment with them. They don't work, stop. Try something else. They don't work, stop. Don't do it so nilly-willy that you're like a guy who's trying to sail a ship and you really can't quite learn how to tack. You keep going with every wind. Tack properly. Do experimental work so properly. But fast failure is really what it's all about. So you shouldn't be afraid of failure.
It's great stuff, Norm.
You know, again, as you listen to Albert, I mean, there are a few things. First of all, it is unusual for people to pursue their passion, and they should try to pursue their passion. Second thing I think Albert mentioned that's really important is be happy with where you're at. Be satisfied with
And you know, be satisfied but be unsatisfied.
Correct.
It's hard to explain. It's a yin and a yang. It's almost oriental.
You want self-improvement.
Don't be complacent. Don't be complacent. Be satisfied. And entrepreneurs
content.
Out there, absolutely number one is hard work.
Yep.
There's going to be somebody who that day is going to outwork you, and you can't let it happen. Mm-hmm. You got to decide that you are so consumed by what you're doing, if you're really into it, and then it'll all start to come together. And then you have to set that path. As you're an entrepreneur, you will surround yourself with an organization, one person, two people, three people. You have to form the ideal image of the employee. For myself, I found now at my age, I'm an older guy now, okay? I talked about doing a show in 1967 here. You can figure out my age, okay? But in any event—
You said you were seven then.
Seven. I was absolutely seven.
Yeah.
I was absolutely seven. But— I made me lose my train of thought.
Yeah. Well, you still got that great youthful exuberance. You were,
thank you.
You know, this is great, great stuff. And I want to pick up if we could.
Sure.
Where
please.
Norm, did you want to?
Well,
wanna
I know where Albert was going, and it's having key employees. You got to have
oh,
the key people
oh, yeah,
around
yeah,
you,
yeah.
And then you also have to have key advisors on the
well,
outside.
Well, I guess the what I was trying to get to is at my age now, I've learned. that I have to be my best every day in front of everybody. Everybody's equal. Evelyn's equal. I drove the car down here. I wanted to. We had fun. I gave her a little driving lesson. We enjoyed it, etc. She's my equal. She's the driver of the car. Okay? A Nigerian woman, by the way, who we hired, who we love for like the last 30 years. But the point is, for me in the morning, I now know enough to get up and pray first. I pray. That's what I do. Whatever anybody else does, they do it their way. Then I work out. I do that. So one, I do 5 days a week workout, 7 days a week of prayer. Now my mindset's right. Clean my body, brush my teeth, eat my food, go to work. I feel ready, like it were Sunday in church, to see people in the best positive light. Open the door for someone. Say excuse me. Say, you know, when you're driving, do your best to drive with courtesy. Keep yourself inside yourself. Keep yourself inside yourself and be able to show by your example of leadership that you're a person that they want to be around. You have authority. You don't have power, you have authority. The authority comes naturally because you're the leader.
Albert could be a reverend. You better be careful here.
First of all, I was going to tell you, you told me this would be good.
Yeah,
this is great stuff. All right, now listen. So you got the clear mind, you got the body ready to go, you're ready to go, you've got yourself ready in the morning, you go to work. You brought people in, you came up with an angle to sell something, again, something that nobody really needs, but a lot of people obviously buy, and that's art. What, you gave them a little bit of knowledge, you got them interested, got them feeling some confidence because they knew a little bit about it now they're ready to make a buy. Let's back up one step, though. How did you get them in the door? You got to bring people in the door. How'd you do that?
Wow. That's such a long, winding path to go to, but
let me give you the whole picture. Yeah.
What I realized that I was doing that nobody else was is what I'm doing with you right now. What I did when I was teaching in university.
We're about to buy some art.
That's right. I would know my material. I don't care whether you buy or not. I mean that. My regular client, I don't care. What I care about is how well I do. Know your material, present it really well, entertaining, and get people jingling about art. And show them an experience like nobody else can show them. Be ready to answer any question. Be ready to lose any deal. Be ready to, but always be courteous, whether the deal's for $5, $5,000, or in our case, could be for $1 million, one deal. We've done those, okay? They're not every day, but they happen. Hundreds of thousands happen all the time. Our business has gotten bigger. So the reality is that our business model, I now have, listen to this one, this will fascinate you, 667 independent contractor auctioneers working for our company. I leave for Florida right after this show. On Wednesday, I talk to 100 people, 80 new recruits, and 20 advanced training people. I will give them 35, 40 minutes of Albert, whatever comes out of my mouth. I will tell them I'm going to ask them for their absolute integrity. I'm going to ask them never to lie to a client. I'm going to ask them to know how to say they don't know. Mm. I'm going to ask them to be fair, to be honest, to have character. And I'm going to demand that from them. I'm going to want that from them. And I'm going to tell them, I don't prepare these speeches because you can ask me anytime, 20 years from now, 10 years now. Maybe I won't remember it, but it won't because it wasn't true.
Yeah, this is authentic. These
are authentic
your
values.
Stuff. This is the values on which your business is built.
And then I've prepared a little bit better than that. I'll give them some tips. I'll give them some things about what we're doing.
Sure.
I'll give them some new programs. But the main thing is, and that's what we want to fill ourselves up with. So now when you go on a cruise ship or at a Ritz-Carlton hotel or one of our events may be happening, you've got somebody I've met personally. You've got somebody working in a team of 3 or 4 or 5. They don't work alone. They always work in teams. The teams have strengths. Here's the person who's old masters. Here's the person who knows Peter Max better. Mm-hmm. Here's the person who knows about framing. Here's the person who's best in operations. Mm-hmm. Here's the person who's best in solving a problem if a client gets hurt. And the whole team comes together, and we have a team approach to giving these seminars and these lectures and running these auctions. Nobody else is doing that. And people have tried, but it's so unique to us. It's like making a pizza that's really not a pizza. You made a hot dog. So they can't quite do what we do. That's the issue. Have a unique product.
Yeah. So processes are important. Huh? He has a process for how he's training his people.
That's a systematic approach, right. A process, right, that builds the confidence in the customer, yeah, leads to the ultimate sale.
And obviously, you know, it goes without saying to the entrepreneurs out there, of course we have to have some good art. Of course we have to have people who know about art. Of course we have to buy the art at the right prices. Of course we have to introduce the artist to people. We're not suggesting you ignore all that because you've got this great selling tool. Let's get away from that part. I'm saying you're going to do that anyway. But you're going to do that with the same energy and with the same enthusiasm and with the same integrity, and approach everything with integrity, because when you don't, it will come apart anyway.
Why do most people end up buying, do you think? Is it because, is it the appreciation for the art? Is it the financial opportunity? Is it the, what do you think is the, why do they pull big dollars out of their pocket and buy?
Oh boy.
That's the secret sauce,
you know,
isn't it?
It's the secret sauce, but I think all we found, I'm not so sure I know why. I think there's a pent-up desire in all of us to do many different things. And this idea of owning art and the mystique that goes along with art, let's get into that just a slight tad. When Picasso, this great master of the 20th century, and most of the audience will know who Picasso was, he's been dead now for many years, painted, he made a funny statement. He said, art is a lie, but it's a lie by which we know the truth. So you think about that statement. I know a lot of crazy stuff like that because I read huge amounts of stuff. I've thought about that and researched it. And finally, I got to the point where I think I have what my view of what he meant was. The lie is this. For God's sakes, somebody's going to pay $120 million
for a piece of canvas and
pigment on
right.
it. What the devil is that?
Right.
But on the other hand, here's the truth. We, as individuals, every one of us has a different DNA. Everyone has a different authorship. And isn't it interesting? Only Picasso could paint Picasso. You can fake him, you can forge him, but you can always find out.
Well, and here's the thing. I can't paint Picasso. I'll never be able to paint Picasso. But boy, it actually says a statement about me. It extends the statement to me when I own one and I put it on my wall and people come in and say, oh, that's a Picasso.
That's right.
And it's in my home. It's a statement I made. And I got to be part of that in some vicarious way.
That's right.
On the margin that... you know, I participated in that.
Yep.
It's part of me now.
Yep.
And I've made it mine.
Yep. And you know, getting into the Picasso piece of it, what he's really saying is our individual creativity, whether it's playing a violin, whether it's running, whether it's talking, whether it's walking, whatever it is, we as humans value our individuality and our humanness. We live inside ourselves more than any other thing. And we put it to the true test at these auctions with all this big money. That's the lie is it's really not worth anything. The truth is it's worth everything because that's where we put our values. And that's where we should put our values.
Exactly.
That's where we should put.
Exactly.
The minute we don't put our values there and we get like the Nazis and just destroy all
art
and define what art's supposed to be, what do you have?
We
have nothing left.
And art, the value of art is defined by that intangible, amorphous human intellect,
yep,
appreciation for romantic things, appreciation for beauty, for history, and for being part of it. Good stuff. All right, we're going to come back after a break and pick it up from there on Startup Nation Radio.
It's Startup Nation on WJR.
Easy to follow instructions on achieving your dream
by taking action now.
Here's Jeff Sloan.
Hey, welcome back to Startup Nation Radio. We do not want to waste a second. Boy, this is great stuff. Albert Scaglione, thanks for being on the show with us. Norm Pappas in studio. Let's get right back to it. Let's get to it, guys. Norm, you got a question?
One thing we have to make sure Albert addresses is that a lot of businesses get into situations where they need to reinvent what they're doing or be innovative as to how they approach their business. And Albert, that would be a very interesting story as to how you change things around.
Yeah, well, it's so hard to... I think maybe rolling with the punches is a way to put it. You're going to get a lot of blows you don't like. And there's no two ways about it. It's not whether you get them, it's when.
It's how and you how you deal with them.
Yeah.
How you respond. Yeah.
How you deal with them. And you're going to get opportunities. Opportunities. You asked the question, oh, you reinvented yourself with the cruise lines. That was a big step for us. But it was when we got the opportunity, we wanted a good speed, And when the competition came along, we always made sure that we were very, 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 very good and very conscious of, quite frankly, being better. And not just better, substantially better. If you have the opportunity to be dominant in the field, grab it. And generally speaking, you're going to find there's a number one and a number two, and there's no number three. Sometimes there's a three. But if you got that opportunity, right now we dominate what we do. Nobody really is out there all over the world. We're on 103 different cruise ships for 8 or 9 or 10 brands. Name a brand we're on, a Celebrity or Royal Caribbean or Princess or whatever, NCL. I don't want to leave anybody out, but so there's 6 or 7 more. And any of us, so I left somebody out. But in any event, not a commercial about that. We do work at the Ritz-Carlton Hotels. We're at the Henry downtown, down in Dearborn. And it's always the same model. It's always this model of having a team of people who, when an individual is engaged by any member of the team, it's non-threatening. It's relaxing. It's you want it to happen. It's like you were in the mood to learn something about this picture, and that's what you wanted that day. We didn't care if you bought it. Of course we cared, but we didn't care to the point of we didn't care really, because we would be much more interested in having you as a friend who might come back later or might say something good about us than anything else, whether you buy a picture or not. And we're going to tell you the truth. We want you to tell us the truth, meaning that you want to buy a picture for $200, we have it. You want to buy a picture for $500, we have that, or $2,000. But don't tell us you're going to buy a $50,000 picture if you're, you know, stroking us, because we'll figure it out and we'll be very polite about it. But we're very, very good at engaging. And the entrepreneur part that I want to get with is be really good at what you do.
Yeah.
Be the best at what you do.
Be the best at what you do. That's so true.
Yeah.
That separates you from the pack.
It does.
And then you mix it with the hard work ethic you talked about, too.
Yep.
That's critical. And now you really got something.
You know, both of you have said people don't need art. They can enjoy it. But, you know, people have really made a lot of money.
Oh, don't get me wrong.
Collecting art.
I highlighted the fact that the reason I said people don't need art is that Albert's making it in the business. Let's be candid. And Albert said it himself. This is not something people need in order to exist and you know, subsist. This is something people choose to buy because of the human nature, because they have the means to do it, and so on and so on. But it's not a necessity.
Right.
And that's the point I mean to make, which makes Albert's story that much more amazing. Because he's doing it, selling things people, again, don't need.
You know what's fun for me? I go on about 2, 3, 4, maybe even 6 cruises a year, and I go to hotel events at Ritz-Carlton's or around the country typically, usually in the U.S., and I meet our clients. And I typically will watch the event first, and then I'll meet the clients, I'll party with the clients, we'll have fun with the clients. And our business model is based on, let's supposing, somebody came to the event. We did at the Dearborn, at the Dearborn,
the Henry.
At the Henry. So those are private events, by the way. So you have to get on a list to get there. They're special collector events, but we put them in the hotel. They get there on a Thursday. They have a meeting with an artist. Friday morning, they meet another artist. Might be Peter Max. He speaks to them about the paintings, the very paintings in the room. They see this icon of art speaking to them. Then we do an auction. Then Friday night, we have some kind of entertainment. Might have dueling pianos. We might have a magic show. Something fun. Might take them to a ball game. We do fun things. We're fun people. We're easy. Saturday, we have a different artist. Same thing Saturday night. We have a different entertaining event. Sunday, we have another artist.
So it's a lifestyle.
It's a lifestyle. Yeah. Now, what happens if somebody comes, goes through the whole thing, we spend whatever we spend, they don't spend anything? It's fine. I could get mad at them. We'll invite them back. It would be illogical, wouldn't it? I mean, obviously, you can't make it work. But a lot of people spend a whole lot of money. And I would say 80%, 90% of the people who do that spend some money. But more importantly, the experience they come away with of meeting 3 artists, they'll meet me from time to time. They'll meet our staff all the time. And that's going to be 5, 6, 7, 8 people at that event. They'll learn an enormous amount about art. We might even show film. We might show video. We might give them the latest thing that's going on in the art world. And they just feel different. I've had so many people come up there. They grab my hand, squeeze it, and say, I know so much about art now. I'm reading this. I'm on the internet.
You've opened a door. You've opened a window. You've empowered them.
You know, that goes back to Albert's education of the client, but giving them a real life experience that they wouldn't normally have.
Right. Right. And those are the intangibles. You know, you're selling art, but clearly you're selling a lot more than that.
Yeah, we're selling experience.
When people spend their dollars with you, they're getting a lot more than just something to hang on their wall.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And that's an important lesson. I mean, for the entrepreneurs out there, you know, sometimes the core thing of what you're selling, you know, in order to beat the competition, as you astutely said, Albert, you got to think beyond the obvious, right? I mean, you got to be creative. You got to be progressive.
And on these cruises that people take, they want a memento of the good experience they had on the cruise, and here, buying a piece of art.
You know, let me tell you a story that what turns me on, okay, and why I can stay in this business. Got a young man named Pat McManus. So Pat's a Detroit artist. He painted for us years ago, and we kind of fell away from him. And he had another job, designing. He enters the Great Michigan Art Contest, which me and Brooks Patterson, not me and Brooks, but my company supports and the Oakland County supports. And we've done it for several years now. A lot of artists enter, and then they choose five. And Pat was one of the finalists. And I run into Pat. He's a cool-looking guy. Got an eye patch he's wearing and a cowboy hat. You know, a cool dude with his cowboy boots, right? But he's not selling a whole lot of paintings, but his painting was beautiful. I said, Pat, your paintings look really good. And I said, what you been doing? He said, oh, man, I don't like the selling part, but, you know. And I said, well, would you want to be getting involved with this? How would I? I said, tell you what, you got stuff? He said, yeah. I said, bring it in next Tuesday. He brings in like 35, 40 paintings. Wonderful. He's an American naturalist. When he paints an eagle, man, he got to get it perfect. Yeah. When he paints a moose or a bear, like freaks me out how good this stuff is. It's absolutely fabulous. We're going to put Pat back with the gallery again. We're going to make limited editions of his works. And he's like, the guy's on cloud nine. It was just through a series of accidents that we fell apart. But to see how he feels and to see how good he is, I look at it and I'm positive. I asked him what he was making and what he needs to make. I said, you have no issue. I said, you have zero issue, Pat. I definitely tell you, we're going to support that, and we're going to blow that away in a few years because you're too good to be doing that. You're good. You're really good. But you got to be devoted now. I'm devoted, man.
Win-win. I mean, you've got the
super
artist
win.
Feeling good on one side.
Super win.
You guys are the conduit bringing the buyer and seller together. You guys obviously feel good, and the buyer walks away with a thing of beauty that they're going to go home and appreciate for many years to come.
Exactly. And that's my everyday world. My everyday world is the world of what are the problems. I have Dwev, who Yo-Yo Ma wanted to bring over here because he's such a great cellist, right? And he's a great painter, and he paints this abstract painting, and he paints different kinds of stuff, and he paints Ferrari cars for the Ferrari people. He's a wild man. What's his big ambition in life? He lives in Florida. He wants me and my family to go to his home because he only lives 5 minutes from me in Fort Lauderdale, and he wants to do a concert where he plays the cello. I haven't done it yet, so I got to do it soon. This has been going on for a year.
All right. Albert mentions his family.
Yeah.
Family businesses sometimes can be difficult.
Yeah.
He's done a great job with that, and we should talk about that.
Well, we got another opportunity to do that in the next segment. So,
all right.
This has been really, really good stuff, and more to come on Startup Nation Radio. We're going to come back. Norm, you'll kick it off with your pointed topic.
Okay.
We come back after
Sounds
this
good.
Thanks, guys. Okay, right back on Startup Nation Radio in a few minutes.
It's Startup Nation on News Talk 760 WJR. Here's Jeff Sloan.
Okay, we're on Startup Nation Radio, and hopefully we're getting some businesses started out there, entrepreneurs inspired, and we got it all rolling. We've got Albert Scaglione in the studio. We also got Norm Pappas. Norm, before we went to the break, you were asking about family and business, and you wanted to
A lot of families have difficulty with that, and Albert's done a terrific job, so he could speak to that better than I.
Well, you know, it's maybe just good fortune. We're close, our family's close, and the business has grown enough so there's a lot of career paths. So that's the good news. And it gets so funny in our business because we encourage fraternization to the point where it gets to be the inside joke at Park West that you're not allowed to marry somebody who doesn't work here. Because there's so many marriages that happen when people meet at our company. It's insane. You know, but it's okay. I mean, we're okay with that. We're very comfortable with that. Mitzi comes to work every day. I come to work every day. Nikki, our daughter, comes to work every day. Mark lives in Texas, so he goes to work in Texas every day. And Lisa lives in Oregon, so she goes to work in Oregon every day. That's good. John lives in Florida, so he goes to work in Florida every day. You can work all over the country because, you know, oh, you don't have to be at home anymore. We all know that. That's easy. And that leads us to another point. Branding. Branding. You got to start your branding early. Don't let somebody beat you to your brand. You got to go you got to go buy all the names that you want. You got to get those names. You know, you don't have to make a huge investment here. You got to make some investment. Get those names registered. You got to have your website. You got to build your brand. And you got to, when people Google you, you got to be found.
And when you say there's both branding for the business and branding for the figurehead, like you.
Yes.
Representing Park West. So both of those things are
important. Both of those things count. Yeah. That's right. And they can be done, but they're done concurrently. I have a certain way of, I get a ranking on something like 87% as a CEO. Somebody told me is good. I said, geez, I would have liked to be in the 90s. But in any event, you know, you go rank me about from so many employees that I don't know who does this. But if you have a good product, you will be able to have your brand look good because it'll be good. If you're trying to brand something that's a skunk, it's going to be a skunk no matter how well you brand it.
And when you say branding, let's break that down. We're really talking more about just more than what you name your business. The name.
That's right.
It's the identity. So it's the identity and the identity to the consumer buying public that has an interest in that you're trying to appeal to.
Exactly.
So break it down. What are the elements, the key elements of a good branding effort?
Well, that's a great
Well, you got to have the great name.
Number one, you can't not have a website. You got to have a website. It's that easy. How do you go in business without a website? You've got to have a website.
And you've got to have good search and other digital capability to get that website found if someone's looking for what it is that you sell.
Well, that's right.
Okay.
But I mean, it starts with this as simple as you have to have a website. You have to have an identity. You have to have a quote-unquote logo of some sort.
Logo of some sort, and probably, so when you arrive at that website, I'm going to have a unique experience and feel for and understand the brand attributes and the values of the company. That all goes with the branding. How do you do that on a website?
Oh, boy.
Well, you got the name, you got the look, you got obviously down to the colors and the layout.
I can tell you how we do it, because we've got resources.
Taglines.
Yeah, well, we do it with professionals. We have a firm out of Seattle. We have a firm out of Detroit. We have individuals out of Detroit, and we have our own internal department. We have two full-time writers. We have 12 people in technology. Code developers and those kinds of people. So we have all the resources to make that happen. WJR, I'm sure, has a similar path.
Yeah.
For somebody who's smaller, you do it in a different way, but you still do it. Yeah. You have the same
task. In traditional business, the website today is largely, at least in the digital world and all the commerce that goes on in the digital space, it used to be in the traditional space, you'd see the storefront, you'd see the sign out in front, and you'd walk in and you'd shake the owner's hand or whoever it was that was the touch point for the company. You'd see the look of the store. You got a sense of the brand, what it stood for, what the values were, what the experience is going to be like, right? All that. And somehow we got to convey that through a website today. And that's a little more challenging.
Exactly. It all goes to if you're an entrepreneur, what are you entrepreneuring? What is it that you are doing? What is the substance of what you have? And if it has substance, you can bring it forth.
Yeah.
But the early on in the game, don't lose out to the fact that let's go to that. Let's go to those people who believe. You know, they're out in the audience today and say, look, I think I got that. I got this great idea. I really can develop it. Okay. All right. Now you get into all your, let's get the simple ABCs. Do you have a lawyer? Do you have an accountant? Do you have a banker? If you don't have those three, where are you going?
Sure. You've got to get all of your ducks in a row.
Exactly.
Those are key components.
Key components.
Yeah.
Then the key components become very, very quickly. You've got those components in place. Okay. Obviously, sales and marketing. I mean, you got to be selling something.
Sales and marketing, you got to stand for something. You got to, the public needs to know what it is that you're selling.
Sales and marketing is your army. I mean, if you don't have a sales force, really great sales force, you've got no ability to be with the public. Now, that may be yourself. Yeah. You may be your own sales force. You may have a service that's so terrific that you can build up a waiting list for your service. That may be a style you use. There are many, many ways to be a successful entrepreneur. There's no one size fits all here. So if that's what you're looking at, you shouldn't be an entrepreneur in the first place.
Right, and you said it in the beginning of the show. You have to know what you're good at, and you need to know what holes you need to fill in order to have your business be good at what you intend to do. I mean, you can't be all you. You got to lead. You got to set the tone. You got to set the values. You got to lead. But you have to have others around you who can help you execute.
Relationships, partnerships.
Yeah.
Partnerships.
Yeah.
If you start thinking about, and those partners, even your employees are your partners or your business partners.
Absolutely.
So if you have this mutual respect for each other, so that the exchange of ideas is happening, and you've got people that can, you know, look at the Microsofts of the world, look at the Bill Gateses of the world, how those things exploded.
And we want to do that with you. Is there any way? Let's get it right now. Let's get this commitment right now. Can we have you back, Albert?
Yeah, you needed 2 hours.
We've run out of time, unfortunately, in this edition of Startup Nation Radio. But what a great show. Norm, thanks so much for putting it together.
My pleasure.
Albert, can't thank you enough for being with us.
Thanks for the invitation.
All right,
I appreciate
great. We'll see you again soon.
All right,
on Startup Nation
thanks
Radio.
Thanks very much.